produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa, the city of God. Your program is One Soul at a Time for Jesus, broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, produced by Mercedes Kotu. It gives me a great pleasure to talk to you about Jesus Christ and His kingdom again today. To all our listeners who are loved by God and created in His image and His likeness to be His holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Our program today is about the believer's hope. The believer's hope. In the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in God's faithfulness to fulfill His promises. Our scripture reading for today is taken from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Him, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 to 18. Faith and hope are closely associated to each other, that sometimes we use them interchangeably. In the scriptures above, Apostle Paul, however, distinguishes them, saying that our faith is that we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Whereas our hope is the assurance that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So, faith encompasses both acceptance of what happened in the past as true and what God says will happen in the future as certainty. However, hope is our confidence in the assurance that God will keep His promises and what he says will happen in the future shall indeed come to pass at his appointed time, which he determined before the foundation of the earth. Thus Paul says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Hope gives us the confidence to live today without worrying about tomorrow, because we know that tomorrow is taken care of by an omniscient, an omnipotent, and an omnipresent God. God is also sovereign, and his decisions and actions are not influenced by the events of the passage of time. In fact, God molds the occurrence of events to result in or to lead to the fulfillment of his promises. Thus Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble as its own. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Thus, hope helps us to prioritize the seeking first of God's kingdom and his righteousness today and now, knowing that all the other things we need will be given to us as well by a faithful God who keeps his promises. As Paul put it, so that we do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. As you can see, our hope as believers in Christ is not wishful thinking, because it is anchored in the faithfulness of the Almighty God who fulfills his promises. The Heavenly Father who knows what we need far much better than we ourselves do. Thus Paul was able to say to the believers in Thessalonica, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Likewise, we should encourage one another today and in this age with the same words of assurance, because we remember our leaders of yesteryear who spoke the word of God, to those who preceded us, and we consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, as we are told in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 to 8. Others include believers whose faith is revealed in the hymns they composed and which we use to glorify and praise God with today. These hymns uplift us in worship of our true and living God. Although there is no evidence as such, we can deduce that Edward Mott, one of the many hymn composers, must have been moved by scriptures such as the ones we have cited above to pen the powerful lyrics like, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Edward Mott, who was born in Upper Thames Street in London on January 21st, 1797, underwent a great spiritual change through the preaching of the Reverend J. Hiatt of Tottenham Court Road Chapel, and he ultimately became a Baptist minister. For the last 26 years of his life, he was a pastor at Horsham, Sussex, where he died on 13th November 1874. Edward Mott's explanation, which was communicated to the Gospel Herald, is as follows. "One morning it came into my mind as I went to labor to write a hymn on the gracious experience of a Christian. As I went up Holborn, I had the chorus, 'On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.'" Edward Mott continued, "In the day I had four first verses completed and wrote them off. On the Sabbath following, I met Brother King as I came out of Leslie Street meeting, who informed me that his wife was very ill and asked me to call and see her. I had an LET and called afterwards. He said that it was his usual custom to sing a hymn, read a portion, and engage in prayer before he went to a meeting. He looked for his hymn book but could not find it nowhere. I said, 'I have some verses in my pocket. If he liked, we could sing them.' We did, and his wife enjoyed them so much that after service, he asked me, as a favor, leave a copy of them for his wife. I went home and by the fireside composed the last two verses, wrote them off, and took them to Sister King. As these verses so met the dying woman's case, my attention to them was the more arrested, and I had 1,000 printed for distribution. I sent one to the spiritual magazine without my initials, which appeared some time after this. Brother Rees of Crown Street, Soho, brought out an edition of hymns in 1836, and this hymn was in it. David Denham introduced it in 1837 with Rees' name and others after. Your inserting this brief outline may in future shield me from the charge of stealth and be vindication of truthfulness in my connection with the Church of God." Brother Edward Mott revived the hope of a dying Mrs. King to the reality that Apostle Paul had so eloquently communicated to the believers in Thessalonica, that they should not be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that they do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we are assured that we who may be still alive, who may be left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who may be still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, as the dying Mrs. King was encouraged, we ourselves, we should also encourage one another with the same words which reflect God's unchanging truth. It is hope that makes us to have a very strong affinity to what Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, was raised to life. Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39. Dear believers, it is hope that gives us the confidence to say that we are convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that when the Lord himself comes down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of archangel, and with trumpet call of God, and when the dead in Christ will rise first, we who may be still alive and are left, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord forever. Hope is a very important aspect of a Christian life, because hope makes us to live our life today with confidence, knowing fully well that God's promises will come to pass. But also hope gives us the strength and the confidence to do the will of God today, to glorify God today, to seek God first today, knowing fully well that tomorrow is taken care of by the Lord who loves us, by the Lord that will preserve us, by the Lord who will make us rise up and be joined with Jesus Christ in the air when he comes. All these things, all these promises of God are a certainty, and it is hope that makes us think so, and it's hope that gives us the confidence to hope that all these things that God has written and said in his word shall come to pass. Therefore, dear believers, our lives as Christians cannot be compared to other people who have no hope and who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For they live this life in fear, and they are scared, for they do not know what will happen tomorrow. Their hope for tomorrow is simply wishful thinking, whereas for us who believe in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, our hope for tomorrow is anchored in the faithfulness of God our Father. It is anchored in the promises that he said will come to pass. And we know in our heart of hearts that what God says will come to pass will indeed come to pass, because it's true, it will come to pass. This is all about hope, and that's why hope is so important. And that's why to be hopeful as a Christian is an important aspect of our life today. To live a life of hope is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. It gives us a strength to wake up in the morning and to do the things that God wants us to do confidently, because we know that tomorrow is in the hands of God. It is hope that makes us to cease from worrying unnecessarily about what will happen tomorrow, because what will happen tomorrow has been promised by God and as is written in his word for us. We know what will happen tomorrow. And as the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, they should not worry about tomorrow, because our Father in heaven knows what we need. Our Father in heaven, who looks after the animals, who looks after the trees, who looks after vegetation, who looks after flowers, that they are clothed in glory much better than the glory of Solomon, also knows what we need, and he looks after us, and he will look after us because he has promised. So let us have hope. Let us live our lives as people that are hopeful and not like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Let us live our lives today confidently in Jesus Christ, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness as a priority for today. Tomorrow, he has taken care of it. Tomorrow is in his promises. Tomorrow is in his hands. This is our confidence for our life. This is our confidence for waking up in the morning when the sun rises and looking forward to a day of work in the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is hope that gives us that confidence to live confidently, to live assuredly, to live as people that are hopeful and not as people that are like the people of the world who have no hope, who don't know what will happen, who are scared about tomorrow and the future. We know what the future holds. It is in God's hand. That concludes our program for the day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa. The program was One Soul at a Time for Jesus. See you next time, God willing, at the same time, on your radio station, SKM Radio, at your network. Bye, and have a blessed week ahead of you as we strive to continue to obey God's will in 2019 by God's wonderful and amazing grace.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
I greet the saints this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I welcome you to the program A Better Hope, Litsemba Lelingcono. Bingelelwa sikhonthise Nkosi Bheka Mduduzi Mabuza. speaking from Mbabane, Eswatini. I thank God for the privilege that He is giving us this evening to share God's word. Let us pray. Babelo ingcwele siyakubonga kusihlwa egameni la Jesu umfeli wethu. Sibonga kuphila. Sibonga umusa wekuba bantwana bakho. Dinikele esandleni sakho babe ngisetha ukuhlephula livi lakho. Bani ngakimi babe. Ungilekelele ngivume amacala ami kuwe. Ngihlande etonweni tami, uhlande netemlaleli. Ngiyakuthumisa, ngiyakubabada, ngitsake ekolo njengawe. Uhlele esihlalweni sebukhosi uyabusa. Nkulunkulu wethu. Sendele umusa ke babe. Sikhulise ekwadini, sisole la usisola khona. Sifundise la usifundisa khona ngelivi lakho. Wendele buhle beligama la Jesu. Amen. Brethren, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13. We shall read verse number 36. It says, "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." My brother and sister, I want us to consider this verse. I want us to look at these words, that David served God's purpose in his generation. Everybody lives in his own generation. Sometimes you hear in sports people saying this one or this particular individual was the best footballer of his generation. Sometimes we'll hear saying this one was the best tennis player of his or her own generation. Because everybody has his or her own generation. And when you are to leave a mark, you leave a mark in your own generation. And sometimes in our minds, we always think, I belong to the best generation. When people complete school, they normally think that their year, they belong to the best generation. Now, why am I making these examples? It is because I want to challenge you, as well as I am challenged, that we also need to serve God's purpose in our own generation. Now, this sentence or verse is part of a sermon or a speech which Paul begins with in verse number 16, where it says, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." Then he says in verse 17, "The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years he enjoyed their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. Now, in all these verses, Paul is telling them about what God did for the Israelites. He goes on to tell them that they then demanded a king, and then he gave them Saul. He says, when you read verse number 21, then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testifying concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So what Paul was doing here, he was advancing an argument or a point that elevates Jesus Christ as above everything that God had done before, as above even David, whom God described as a man after his own heart. Now he argues that even that David died and his body decayed. In order to understand what I'm saying, you then have to read verse number 37, where it says, but the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. So, even though David was so great, Paul says his body decayed. But that is not my point this evening. My point this evening is that of all people that Paul would have used to engage the Israelites, he uses David. And he says about him, he served God's purpose in his own generation. Now, I want us then to analyze David. Why is King David singled out as a man who served God's purpose in his own generation? Now, number one, this David was a sincere believer. That is why one day when he faced Goliath, he says, I had an encounter with a lion. I had an encounter with a bear. And these I defeated. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So if you are to be somebody who will leave a mark in your generation, the basic thing that you need is that you need to be a sincere believer. And David was. That is why he was able to face Goliath. That is why he had enough faith to say, with God on my side, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of God? Then Paul testifies about him. He says, David served God's purpose in his own generation. Now, number two, what you need to fall into this category of people like King David, you need to have a state of heart like that of David. It says here in verse 22, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Why does God give such a testimony about David? He has examined the state of his heart. He says about him, this is a man after my own heart. So if you are to be counted amongst people who have served God in your own generation, your state of heart must be such that you are a man after God's own heart. Now, the next point about David, we need to look at his actions in relation to Saul. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 24, from verse number 3 to verse number 7, it says, at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that cave. Now is your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your own power, into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the helm of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. Look at this, my brother and sister. If you are to be counted amongst people who served God's purpose in their own generation, you must not seek revenge. You must not fight your battles like a carnal man would do, like a pagan would do. You must leave your battles to God. Saul had troubled David many a time, and the opportunity had come for David to revenge, for David to attack. Listen to his attitude. He says, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? Why is it that you are the one who fights your own fellow Christians in your local church? Why not learn from King David, who said, God forbid, I cannot touch the Lord's appointed, the Lord's anointed. Now look further in 1 Samuel chapter 26. There we will look verse number 5-8. The Bible says David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army, were sleeping inside a ring formed by these lumbering warriors. Who will volunteer to go in there with me? David asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. I will go with you, Abishai replied. So David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him. Verse number 8, God had surely handed your enemy over to you this time. Abishai whispered to David, let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice. No, David said, verse number 9, don't kill him. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, and he will die of old age. Or he will die of old age. Or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. But take his spear and that jug of water beside his head, and then let's get out of here. Look at this, my brother and sister. There was an opportunity for David to strike in revenge, for David to fight his own battles. But he said, God forbid, who am I that I should touch God's anointed? That is the attitude that you and I must have, my brother, when there is a conflict in our local churches, where there is a conflict with other Christians. I should say, whom am I that I should strike God's own child? My brother and sister, that is, I submit to you that that is one of the reasons Paul writes about David, that he served God's purpose in his generation. Now, the next point about David is concerning his Psalms. His Psalms exhibited a heart of supreme delighting in God's word. Let us go to the book of Psalms so that we can see from the text what I am talking about. Let's go to Psalms chapter number 40 and read verse number 8 to see for ourselves what the Bible says about this man of God who served God's purpose in his own generation. Psalm 40 verse number 8 says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Now, if you are to be counted amongst people who serve God's purpose in their generation, you must emulate David, who says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. You can't serve God's purpose in your generation if his instructions are not written in your heart. And God's instructions cannot be miraculously written in your heart. You must be prayerful. You must read the word. The only way that God's instructions can be in your heart is through you reading his word. Cultivate a culture of reading God's word. It is only then that you can reach a level where you say you take joy in doing his will, because his instructions are written on your heart. My brother and sister, let us also consider Psalms 119 to see the type of a man that David was. Psalm 119, verse number 16. The Bible says, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. If you are to serve God's purpose in your own generation, you have got to delight in God's decrees and not forget his word. And how can you? You cannot forget something that you do not have. So you need to read the word. Now let us turn to the book of Psalm 119, verse number 69. The Bible says, arrogant people smear me with lies, but in truth I obey your commandments with all my heart. My brother and sister, if you are to be counted as having served God in your own generation, served God's purpose in your own generation, you must obey God's commandments with all your heart. That is what King David was made of. That is why Paul gives testimony and says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Now when you read further, verse number 77, it says, surround me with your tender mercies so I may live, for your instructions are my delight. My brother and sister, if you are to be counted as having served God's purpose in your own generation, you must delight in God's instructions. And the key to that, my brother and sister, is that you must be a friend to God's word. You must read the Bible. It is disheartening to see that some people who confess to be Christian don't even have a copy of the Bible. Some claim not to afford it. But when you examine their hairdos, it costs 3 times the cost of a Bible. When you, in the same chapter, you read verse number 92, it says, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. Verse number 143 in the same chapter says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. That is why Paul gives such a testimony. He says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. When you are long gone, my brother and sister, such a testimony can be given about you for as long as you delight in God's purposes. Now, lastly, what I want us to consider about David is that when he had made offense, when he had sinned, he would rectify. He would confess his sins. Let us quickly consider the book of Psalms, chapter number 32, and hear what David says from verse number 1 to 5. He says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. This is the caliber of a man that Paul says of him. He served God in his own, he served God's purposes in his own generation. He is a man who would confess his sins, who would accept his shortcomings, who would say, I have sinned before you, Lord. When you look at Psalms 51, he says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. That is what God expects of us, my brother and sister. To forgive, to confess our sins. And is faithful and just to forgive us. David served God's purpose in his own generation by being a man who confesses his sins, who doesn't hide his guilt from the Lord. That is the standard. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the lesson that you have given us this evening. Help us to emulate King David, to be people who confess our sins, to be people who sincerely believe, to be people who exhibit delight in your work, in your laws. We confess our sins, we are not worthy of the grace that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to live according to your statutes. Bless us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Geliefde van die Here, vandag groet ek julle weer. Ek Pastor Jave Johnson, regstreeks vanaf Kimberley hier in Suid-Afrika, en jy luister na die program Kyk na God, wat geproduseer is deur Masidi Skotu en op die radiostasie Shimikotu Ministries. Vandag luisteraars, wil ek vir julle baie dankie sê vir die wat julle tyd opgeoffer het om vandag te kom sit en na my luister in die woord van die Here wat ons vandag weer gaan deel. Jy weet, is nie altyd wat die mense kans het om te kan praat van die Here nie, want jy weet, ons hou ons so besig met so baie dinge hier op aarde, dat ons baie kere vergeet ons om te kan praat van die Here. Maar kom ons kyk vandag, nee. Baie keer ek ontmoet mense in die straat en dan begin hulle praat met jou, jy weet, en hoor die ou, hey, ek weet jy geweet, dis nou 'n pastoor die. En jy weet, mense, jy loop mos nou nie en jy net elke tyd as jy mense ontmoet en jy word voorgestel en stel jy jouself voor as pastoor nie, maar jy weet, as 'n broer, want God het vir ons gesê, ons is broers en ons is sisters, saam met mekaar, jy weet, ons is een in hom. Maar baie kere kom kry jy, ons is mos lief vir die rank om 'n pastoor te is. Maar nou, jy ken die krimos nou die onderdanige ouense wat nie altyd gaan sê hulle is 'n pastoor nie. Tot iemand hulle sê, of tot hulle sien die manier waar jy jou op gedrag jy weet, dan sê hulle, ja, man, die ou kan dalk 'n pastoor is. En jy weet, dan beginne mense vra. Maar pastoor sê vir my, waar het dit begin en hoe lyk dit? Hoe is dit in die koninkryk van die Here? Nee. So ek wil vandag vir julle wees sê, kom ons kyk wat sê die Bybel vir ons, want toe lei die Bybel vir ons vandag. En ons kyk na alles wat ons doen op aarde, soos ek gesê het. Wanneer jy 'n TV-stel gaan koop, kom jy so met 'n boekie uit. En in die boekie is al die instructies wat jy gaan sê as jy wil na watse program toe gaan, as jy na watse kanaal toe wil gaan, waar moet jy druk en hoe moet jy maak, waar sit jy af en waar sit jy aan. En dit is net soveel soos met ons ook. As jy gaan kyk, nee, ons het soveel probleme as mense. En ons weet nie hoe om dit op te los. Kom, ek maak is nie 'n voorbeeld nie. Ek gee vir jou hierdie storie. En ek gaan dit elke Sondag sal ek dit vir jou gee. Elke tyd wanneer jy luister na my, dan gaan jy hoor van hierdie storie. Ek gaan nie stop om te praat van dit nie. Ek gaan nie ophou nie. Ek gaan niks ophou om te praat van hierdie ding nie. Van weet jy nie, baie mense vra maar, ja, hoekom kom die ding nou hier op? Jy weet, as jy in gaan kyk daarin, die laaste boek, nee. In die laaste boek van die Bybel. Leer dit vir ons iets daar. Nee. Dit sê vir ons. Daar in die Openbare. 2, daarvan 20. Leer dit vir ons wat het God, Jesus Christus, vir Johannes gesê. Hy het vir Johannes gesê. Ek het gepraat met Jezebel. En ek het haar gesê. Sy moet tot bekering kom. En as sy dit nie gaan doen nie, sal ek vir haar siek gee wat haar gaan laat lê in die bed. En as ons nou gaan kyk, ons het 'n groot probleem met vigs in Suid-Afrika, in die wêreld. Né? En as jy nou kyk, dan sê hulle, watter land het die meeste mense met hierdie siek? En daar is nie 'n oplossing nie. Maar wat sê die Bybel? Die Bybel het 'n oplossing. Die Bybel het 'n oplossing. Hy sê, as sy wil regkom, as sy gaan bekeer, nee, as sy tot bekering gaan kom, dan sal daar nie sulke iets gaan wees. Maar nou kom kry jy baie kere vra mense jou. Nou, hoekom kom dit nou eers uit? As jy weet, die probleem het nog nie opgekom nie. Jy weet nie, jy weet nie dat jy sonde maak, tot daar 'n wet gesit word op daai. Dat jy kan weet, hierdie is 'n sonde. Want ons doen soms te goeders, ons weet nie. Omdat daar nie reël is teen aan dit nie, dan sê dit nie vir ons, nee, jy mag dit nie doen nie. So kom ons kyk wat sê die Bybel vandag vir ons. Van, jy weet, baie kere kry jy mense wat bang is om te kom na die Here toe. Baie kere stuur God ons uit om sy werk te gaan doen. En ons het die twyfel, jy weet nie. Da's die Engels woord wat sê in die woord van die Here. Dat groot is hy die wat in my is. En die ene, dan die ene op die aarde. Greater is he that is in me than the one in this world. So jy weet, hy gee jou die krag en die mag om te weet, jy hoef niemand te vrees hier buiten nie. Jy hoef niemand te vrees nie. Want God kan vir jou soveel krag gaan gee, nee. Maar nou my probleem is die. Meeste van dit, ons wil krag hê. Ons wil die krag hê. Maar ons weet nie waar om die krag te kry nie. Kom ek sê vandag vir jou, dat's baie goed wat jy wil doen. Dat's baie goed wat nie vir jou uitwerk nie. En jy wil die wysheid hê om dit te doen. Kom na die Bybel. Jy het krag nodig om sekerlike goed te kan hanteer. Kom na die Bybel. Jy weet, baie kere kom kry jy sit, dan kom kry jy probleme by die huis. En jy, dat is verskillende klompe probleme wat ons het. Nee? Net soos wel as wat ons siektes het. Ons het baie probleme. Ons het so groot probleme, vername in Suid-Afrika, vername in die wêreld. En ek opkry hierdie regerings is, sit ons in situasies in. Kyk, ons het nou 'n story van aborties wat nou op gaan kom. Ons het stories in Suid-Afrika wat rondhardloop dat die skoolkinders moet nou geleer word van hierdie seks goed nou in graad 4. En as jy gaan kyk, hy kind is nog kling. Hy is nog hier gereed vir daardie situasie nie. So, jammer, dit is beter dat ons nou 'n president het wat sê, instead om dit te doen, kom ons leer die kinders om besigheid mense te kan word. Op die kling stadium van hulle waar hulle is. So kom ons kyk nou vandag, die woord van die Here leer vir ons, né? Nee, om sterk te kan wees, om vertroue te hê in God. Kom ons sê so, want die krag wat die Here vir ons gee, ons moet net vertrou in hom. Jy weet, kom ons bid net gou saam. Hemelse Vader, ons dank U vandag dat U vir ons weens hier gebring het. Ek dank vir die mense wat vandag kom luister. Ek dank hierdie wat jy vandag uitgestuur het om nog meer te kan gaan haal en te kom kan luister. Ek vra Hemelse Vader dat U hulle seën soos hulle inkom en soos hulle uitgaan. Vra ek U moet hulle seën. Bind ons as een Vader, as 'n kerk, as 'n individu, as 'n individu. Bring ons saam by mekaar en maak ons een soos U een is in die Vader en die naam en die Heilige Gees. Die Vader, die Seun en in die Heilige Gees. So vra ek vandag dat U ons ook net so by mekaar bring. Dat ons saamwerk. Laat ons nie teenoor mekaar werk nie. Van nou af is kerke wat gebou word, kerke wat gestig word, kerke wat opkom. En maar dan trek hulle ver weg van die woord af wat U vir ons, die mandaat wat U ons gegee het om te kom werk op aarde. Die kerke se deure staan nou toe. Daar's niemand by die kerkie. Geen persoon sit nou vandag in die kerk en kyk of daar nie 'n verlore siel is wat vandag gaan kom nie. Van ons verlore siele kom nie net op 'n Sondag terug nie. Hulle moet elke dag terugkom. Elke dag moet ons sit en wag vir hierdie siele wat terugkom. Vader, ons dank U. Ons vra dat U vir ons vandag sterker maak en ons die krag en die mag gee om nie te verlore te gaan nie, om altyd in U te vertrou en altyd in U pad te loop. Ons dankie Hemelse Vader, dankie. Amen en amen. Ja, my broer, my suster, soos ons so praat, soos ons so, jy weet, daar's so baie lees dinge van vandag nê wat ons moet lees. Maar daar's so sekerlike spanne wat ons nog nie baie gaan lees nie nê, wat ons so bietjie gaan uitlos. Maar ek gaan vra vir jou, soos jy jou Bybel het daar. Ons gaan nou in Judges lees nê, maar daar is nou die Engels woord, die Afrikaans woord is regters nê. Daar by die regter 6 daarso. Kom ons gaan gou net daar by 14 nê. Laat ons hoor, luister, 14, kom ons lees net Regters 14, lees as volg. Maar Gideon het vir hom, askies meneer, waarmee sal ek die Israelites gaan red? Die families daaraan ek hoort, is die armste in die hele mosaïek. En van my pa se kinders het ek die minste aansien. Amen. Jy weet, as jy gaan kyk nou vandag nie, wat die woord vir ons leer nie, dat is ons min ag ons so, maar ons weet ons is met die Here. Nee, dan kom kry jy, baie kere sit ons en ons weet ons is met God, maar as hy ons roep, dan het ons daardie twyfeling in hom en nie wil kom na hom toe nie. Jy weet, dit is seer om te kan sien hoe hy vir ons lief het. Kom ons lees net gou die Engels versie ook hierso nie. Is mos 14, Judges 14. Ja, yes. Let us quickly go to Judges. No. It's Judges 6. Excuse me. Judges 6 from verse 14. It says, the Lord turned to him and asked, Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian. And I'm not sending you. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Madashia. And I am the least in my family. Amen. Ons gaan nog weer anders kom lees. Ja, we are still going to read in Ezekiel 2. But let us quickly take this too. Let me just show you. Look at Gideon was with God. And God was speaking to him. And we know whenever we have God. Remember that he said, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. Everyone who open, I will come in and dine with him. So that means that he's going to live inside of you. Open your heart today and receive him so that he may live in you. And now you ask yourself, how can I, who have started right now, say to you that the Bible is our navigator. The Bible is like that little book that you buy. It's not actually like, but you know that when you buy a TV, your TV will tell you, if you want to switch on the TV, then you have to press button 1. If you want to switch it off, you press button 7. If you want to do this, go to that channel, you press button 7, or you press this and this and this. The Bible is also helping us as people. I've just said, in Afrikaans, you know that there is this thing that most people want to know. How can we overcome HIV? And it's very simple, because the Bible has already have an answer for us for many years. But little maybe did we know that this is going to happen, because we didn't have that problem yet on that time. But listen what the Revelation says. Revelation 2 says unto us that we must remember that the Jezebel spirit that is in us, if we can just look at the Jezebel spirit that's in us, Jezebel will, because with a sickness that will keep her in bed with the people that she is sleeping with. And that, if you read it nicely, it is in Revelation 2, verse 20. From verse 20 there, you'll read it. And it will tell you that that sickness was already there way back. It was already foreseen that it will happen. And now it is here. Now we know about it. Now the only way for us to get the cure is to repent away from these things. So come on, skake. Jy vra jou nou self, hoekom het ons nou daar gekom en hoekom is ons nou hier by hierdie krag? Ek het jou net gewys waar na toe lei die Bybel vir ons. I've just shown you now. How can the Bible help us to overcome most of the problems that we have that we think we cannot solve? We have already, God had already put out a plan for our lives through the Bible. So if any problem you have, consult with your Bible. If you don't understand, go to your pastor, go to your apostle, talk to him, ask him, where is this in the Bible? How can he or she direct you in the Bible so that he can get an answer? Maar veel gepraat, jy weet, ek gaan nou so baie praat nie vandag, want ons gaan weer volgende week aangaan met 'n ander stuk. Ons gaan nie net hier ophou nie, ons gaan weer volgende week aangaan met hierdie geselskap. So, kom ons kyk nou. Hier is Gideon. Gideon wat gesê, kom. Hy het nou askies, hy het nie die krag nie, maar hy is vergeet met wie praat hy. En daarby hulle is hulle die minste familie. Hulle is nie die sterkste familie nie. Jy ken hier, as ons hier rondloop, ons het ons hierdie familielede, wat so gebang word hier op aarde. As jy een van hulle slaan, hulle kom sommer al, man. Maar Gideon sê hierso, dat hulle nie die sterkste is, familie is nie. En in sy familie, as hy die swakste, baie kere hier op aarde, kyk ons die mense wat het. Dis hoekom hulle gaan op groot stoele kan sit in die kerk en dan sit jy maar daar op 'n plastiek stoel daar agter. Maar jy betaal die meeste tyd in die kerk en jy betaal die meeste tiendes. Jy gaan leen glad geld. Maar kom ons kyk nou na ons Gideon, wat nou krag gegee word van die Here. Die Here sê vir hom, gaan daar en gaan red my mense. Hoeveel mense van God sit nou vandag hier buite, wat nou nie vandag, jy weet, die wat nog nie gered is nie, wat nog nie die woord van die Here ken nie. Maar as jy daar in Esegiel gaan lees 2, sê die Here vir hom, kom hier, eet hierdie boek. En die boek is geskrywe al te kante. Jy weet die rol van die boek, die ou boeke wat ons gehad, nie die boeke wat ons nou het. Dit was my so op een rol geskryf. Maar so twee paliekies het die langs die kant. En as jy hom so ooptrek en sê, teen alle kante is hy geskryf. En God sê vir hom, eet hierdie. So as hy sê, eet hierdie, hy sê vir ons, ons moet die Bybel lees. Die Bybel het krag in hom. Jy weet, as jy gaan kyk, nee, hoe het Jesus Christus die duivel oorwin, toe hy vir hom gesê het daar, ja, gooi vir jou hier af, en dan sal ek vir jou al die rijkdom gee, en wat en wat, en as ek jou hier afgooi, die engele gaan jou vang. En die Here het hom net elke tyd met die woord van God geantwoord. Hy het nie een mes gaan vat en kom terug beklein, dit is wat ons moes doen. As iemand nou jou kind die buiten kan slaan, jy weet nie, jy kom nie met die Bybel na die duivel toe nie. Jy kom met jou eie kracht, jy wil net beklee, jy wil doodmaak, jy wil net steel, jy wil skiet, jy wil, jy weet, jy wil mens vernietig. En kom ons kyk nou, die Bybel sê vir ons vandag, hy leer vir ons, dat ons die kracht het. Ons het die kracht om enige ding te kan doen wat God sê ons moet doen. Maar ons kan dit nie doen buiten hom nie. Ons kan dit net doen binnen in hom. Want dat is geen kracht wat jy het nie. Jy kan denk jy sterk, jy kan gaan oefen, jy kan alles gaan doen. Maar luister, God sê vandag vir jou die kracht wat jy het. En luister, daarby 37, Esegiel 37, sê hy vir hom, gaan, staan daar, moet nie bang wees nie. En toe hy daar rondkiek, daar waar hy, wat hy naartoe gelei was, het hy gesien, daar is nie klom droog bene, jy weet nie, een been het een velletjie of bloed of een massel nie, maar hy het hulle gesê, hy sê vir hom, sê die bene moet opstaan, en dan gaan hulle opstaan, hoe kan hy die bene sê die bene moet opstaan? Kom ons gaan terug na 2 toe, eet hierdie boek. Dit is die woord van God, wat die krag het om die bene te kan sê, die bene moet opstaan. So kom ons kyk vandag, as ons gaan kyk in ons lewe in, wat dra ons, wat het ons, wat gee ons uit in ons gemeenskap in. Ons is die minste, as jy gaan kyk, meeste van ons wat geroep word na die Here, is altyd die ouens wat die minste is, is altyd die ouens wat nie eintlik reg, ek soos ek is nie eintlik reg geleerd nie, ne? Ek kan bykie Engels lees, en ek kan Afrikaans lees, ek kan Tswana lees, ek kan so bykie Xhosa en Zulu praat, ne, ek kan net praat, maar ek kan nie reg goed lees nie, maar, dit sê nie ek is hoog geleerd nie, as ek kyk as baie ouens wat hoog geleerd het as ek, maar maak dit vir my minder voor die mense. As God jou uitstuur en jy praat daar, en as hy praat, die mense gaan vir jou verstaan en die mense gaan hoor wat sê jy. En baie gaan kom na jou toe en jy sê, wow, weet jy, ek het dit nie so altyd gesien nie. Ek het dit in hierdie opsig gekyk, maar nou sien ek vandag, jy maak het dan so makkelijk vir my. Kom ons kyk, baie kere word ons geroep na die Here. Dan wil ons ook soos hierdie manne praat, wat as hulle gaan preek in ons, jy weet, dan het hulle die hoog, stem wat hulle gebruik in hy God. Jy kan daar die klein stemmetjie het. Jy hoef nie te gaan staan en skop en spring en al die goed maak. Jy hoef nie vir jou een mooi soet te gaan koop en jy en soos hulle wil lyk nie. Maar kom ons kyk, hoe moet ons is? Kom ons is soos Christus. Kom ons is die minste tussen die mense. Maar dan weet ons, ons loop met een gevaarlike krag. Die krag wat hy vir ons gegee het. Hy sê vir ons in die Segeel, gaan eet hierdie boek. Die woord, die boek het baie krag in hom in. Jy weet, jy kan sit tussen mense, baie mense gaan wegbeweeg van jou af, net deur hierdie boek. As jy beginne sit met mense in gesels, en hulle beginne sê, ja, maar die woord van God sê, ons kan nie hoer nie, dan gaan jy sien hoeveel matters van jou gaan weg van jou af. Jy weet, hierdie boek is soos een vuur. As jy vuur het, as daar iewers kan brand, gaan jy al die kokorotte en die slange en die snak die muise en die rotte en die katte, hulle gaan alman weghardloop, hulle gaan nie nader kom na die vuur toe. Kom ons kom nader vandag na hierdie krag wat God vir ons gee. Laat as ons kom na hierdie krag wat hy ons gee vandag, laat alman weghardloop wat nie aan God behoort nie. Jy weet, dat is baie kerke wat as hierdie woord regtig kan in die kerk in kan hoor, jy gaat sien hoeveel mense gaan in die kerk het, net om die woord van die Here te gebruik. Geld bring baie mense kerk toe. Kom ons kyk vandag. Hoeveel die groot kerke, omdat hulle sien die pastoor het een mooi kar, die pastoor het een helse groot huis. Maar as jy kom kyk nou vandag, in die wat hy het, is God in hom. En die ou wat die woord van die Here elke Sondag preek in die kerk, hulle is net so handjie vol. Hulle is net so handjie vol. Mense hardloop daar waar die geld is. Hulle hardloop nie daar waar God is nie. Vandag kom ek leer vir julle, my broer, my sister. Daar is baie krag in die Here in. God het vir ons so baie goed. God leer vir ons, die woord leer vir ons vandag. Ons moet weet hoe om die bene wat hier lê lewendig te kan maak. Daar is so baie plekke waar ons vandag loop, wat net een woestijn is. En in die woestijn, daar lê net klomp bene daar vir ons. Maar God sê vandag vir ons, ons moet hierdie bene wakker maak. Want ons het die krag en ons het die mag om dit te kan doen, as ons onze harde oopmaak vir hom. Jy weet, ek sê elke tyd, alles hierdie kan jy net doen. Jy kan dit net doen, wanneer jy vir God het by jou. Wat kan vir ons wegvat van die liefde van God af? Sonde, my broer. Kom ek sê vir jou sonde. Daar is een vraag wat in die Bybel in sit. What can separate us from the love of God? Only sin, my brother, my sister. Dit is geskrywe in die woord van die Here. Hy sê, jylle wat my gebooie hou, jy wat het in jou koppen gaan skryf en in jou hart, moet dit nie vergeet nie. Daar is panne wat hy 10 gebooie in hulle koppe en in hulle harde het, kan gaan staan een dag en skree, halleluja, halleluja, ons is gered. My broer, my sister, die woord van die Here is baie lekker. Jy weet, is so, nee, wat jy kom kry baie kere, sit ons, en dan het ons die Here nie. Dan dink ons, God is hier met ons. Maar dan is hy nie saam met ons. He. Want baie kere dink ons net dat hy is saam met ons. Omdat ons sien ons rykare, omdat ons sien ons het gelde, dink ons die Here is daar met ons. Maar dan is hy nie daar nie. Want sy woord is nie daar nie. Ons bid, ons praat, ons doen alles net vir geld. Min doen ons dit vir God. Kom ons kyk gauw wat sê. Sê 2 Korintiërs 4. Kom ons kyk net gauw wat sê daar vir ons. Die wapens van ons strede is nie die wapens van die mense nie. Maar die kragtige wapen van God wat vasting van vernietig, daarmee vernietig ons die radinasies. Amen. En ons lees om daar in Engels. 2 Korintiërs, 2 Korintiërs 10, 2 Korintiërs 10, vers 4. Sê vir ons. Nee. Hy sê, kom, it reads as follows. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Yo! Dit vernietig hierdie sterk goed wat ons so elke tyd in ons in indruk. Jy weet, ons het hierdie demoniese goed wat ons in ons in sit. En min weet ons dat ons beklee nie met messe nie. Ons beklee nie met ganne nie. Ons beklee nie met gewere nie. Ons beklee nie met kanone nie. Maar ons beklee met die wapens van die gees wat vir ons tot in ewigheid gaan bring. Hoor wat sê, hy sê, daarmee vernietig ons die redenasies. Die redenasies wat ons so elke tyd wil ons in redenasies in wees. Jy weet, ons is geneig om weg te beweeg aan wat God ons gegee het. En dan wil ons onself beklemtoon in goed wat God ons nie wil hê nie. My broer, my sister, dit is in die openbaar vandag, dat ons sit met hierdie probleme wat ons het. En hier is die boek. Ons sit en ons dink baie kere die minste van ons. Ons wil nie goed doen omdat ons dink ons pas nie daar nie. Ons hoort nie waar nie. Maar God het vir ons elke deur oopgemaak wat oop staan vandag. En waar hy toegemaak het, moet ons nie gaan staan en klop aan daardie deure nie. Kom ons loop en luister na sy woord. Want hy lei ons na deure toe wat oop is. En wat hy toemaak agter ons, moet ons altyd net vorentoe kyk. Dat ons nie soos Lot se vrou is nie. Wat terug gaan draai en terugkyk na ons sonne. Na ons snakste goeterse, wat ons nog wil altyd onthou. Jy weet my broer, my sister, as baie kere wat jy kom kry, jy het wegbeweeg van al die goede af. En dan wil die duivel wil het, jy moet terugkom na Sodom en Gomorra. As jy kyk na Lot se vrou, die instructie was daar om te sê, moet nie achter toe kyk nie, kyk net vorentoe. Dit is wat God doen. Dis hoekom, as jy gaan kyk, nie, as God vir ons sê, daar in die visions, nie, sê die Here vir ons, wat moet ons vir onszelf aantrek mee? Sien jy? Hy sê vir ons, wat moet ons dra? En so sê vir ons hierdie, geen, sê vir ons baie deeglik, hoe moet ons onszelf wapen? En as jy gaan kyk na hierdie, die wapen rustig wat ons mag dra, het niks achter. Hoekom? As jy gaan kyk, jy het die hoed, jy het die breastplate, en dan het jy die shield hier in jou hand, en, maar as niks achter nie, wat sê dit vir jou? My broer, my sister, kom ons gaan volgende week weer aan. Ons gaan hier klammer, maar nie vergeet die. Die rigter wat ons aantrek om na ons beklei toe te gaan, het niks achter nie, want hy is achter ons. Ons moet net vorentoe beweeg. Laat ons nie achter toe kyk, wie gaan ons nog steek nie, want hy kyk achter ons. Dankie my broer, my sister, amen en amen. Ons sal weer volgende week, gaan ons weer gesels hier oor, ons sal weer die Bybel kyk, ons sal weer preek hier oor hierdie woord. Ons gaan nie die woord los nie, sal hom nie nou los nie. Ek weet, baie kere, weet jy, kom dit weer, maar ek bid in die Here dat hy nie vir ons nou weer wegvat, en laat hy vir ons hier los vir hierdie week of twee, laat ons nog dieper in hierdie kan gaan. Amen. Kom ons bid net. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, for the power that you have invested in us, Father, but only if we are in you, God, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that you teach us, that you give us the wisdom, Father God. Give us wisdom, Lord Jesus, to know how to read your word and to know how to listen to your word, Father. For your word, Father, is the only navigator we have. Only navigator we have, Father. For where your word is, Father God, there the devil will not withstand us. The devil will never attack us. It will try, but with your word, Father, we know the power that that word has. Father, we pray that you keep us throughout this week. And keep us safe, Father God. We pray, Father, that for the new listeners who have come and listened, Father, that they find the joy that they want in your word, Father God. I pray, Father, that whenever they read, that you reveal unto them, Father, what you want them to know. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you. Amen and amen. Geliefdes, baie dankie. Sien julle weer volgende week. Ons sal maar weer hier oor kom gesels. Dankie dat julle julle tyd opgeofferd het om saam met ons te kan kom sit en praat. Amen en amen.